Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daily on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. As we come to the end of the afternoon, today we allow ourselves to be shaped and formed by the example of St. John Paul II. We consider the saintly pontiff, John Paul II, who was born and given the name Karol Joseph Wojtyła. Karol Joseph Wojtyła was born on the 18th of May in 1920 in Poland. Karol Wojtyła would eventually experience the reality of pain, suffering, and loss early on in his life at the death of his mother and the death of his baby sister. It would be he, his father, and his older brother Edmund. Eventually, even his brother Edmund, older than he, who was very proficient in medicine, would succumb to a spreading plague and die very young, thus leaving Karol Wojtyła and his father. The two of them would become inseparable, very dependent upon one another, allowing the young Karol Wojtyła to be filled with admiration for his father, after whom he was named. There is one powerful moment where the father took the young boy, shortly after his mother had died, to the great Marian Shrine in Częstochowa, Poland. And he pointed towards the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa and allowed the young boy to gaze upon the eyes of the Holy Virgin. And he let the little boy know that now she is his mother from heaven. And he would be called to and invited to reach out to her day in and day out. In the absence of his birth mother, the Holy Virgin, Our Lady, would accompany the young Karol Wojtyła through the rest of his life. This is important because it helps us to appreciate and understand the power and the depth of the Marian devotion of Karol Wojtyła, he who would eventually become Pope St. John Paul II. Understanding the deep Marian roots of his life helps us to appreciate why and how he would always direct the eyes of humanity to Christ. He would direct them to look at Christ through the heart, through the mind, through the eyes of the Holy Virgin, the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the chaos and in the confusion, in the uncertainty, in the challenging moments that followed the Second Vatican Council, where so many riches were discarded or set aside, John Paul II, as Pope, would constantly and fervently and with great passion direct the mind and the heart and the eyes of the Church to once again perceive Jesus, who is the Christ. He would encourage the whole Church to pursue Jesus through Mary, something that perhaps isn't novel, and yet it was incredibly different during the time when he was Pope. To see him with his rosary was not uncommon, and yet to be out about in the world, in parishes and in Catholic schools, where the rosary was seen as something of the past, or the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary was seen as irrelevant, to hear the Pope remind all of Christianity to spend time with Our Lady and to see her as our mother. It was quite unique, quite special, quite the privilege. His message continues down even to our own time. It's hard because for many of us, we perhaps have a lived memory of Pope John Paul II. We remember growing up. We remember watching him being elected. We remember listening to him on nightly news, watching his travels around the world where he would go to embrace people of all different countries and cultures and languages, and yes, even sometimes different religions. He understood that the Lord Jesus Christ had to be taken to the furthest boundaries, to the farthest ends of the world. And as the Holy Father, as the Pope, as the Vicar of Christ, that was his task, to announce Jesus to the whole world. He was not a figure who would be content being a prisoner of the Vatican or being a resident of the Holy See. He understood that as Pope, the whole world was his parish, and he wanted everyone, everywhere, to know of Christ's love for them. And he did so with a uniquely Marian dimension. His motto, the motto of his pontificate, Totus Tuus, totally yours, reflects back upon that memory, where as a young boy, his father would take him to Our Lady and point her out and highlight that she is his mother. His phrase, his motto of his pontificate, totally yours, totus tuus, would take on an even deeper meaning when John Paul II was shot in St. Peter's Square. When he was shot on May 13th, the anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima, Portugal, the whole world fell to its knees. How could the Pope be shot? How could the Holy Father have an assassination attempt against him? It opens up a door into a conversation where we have to admit truth, where we have to be willing to allow the truth of Christ to liberate us from the chains of confusion. John Paul II, as a faithful man, as a disciple of Jesus, as a son of Mary, posed a threat to communism. He posed a threat to godless socialism. He posed a threat to anyone and everyone who sought to keep people enslaved to the ideology of somehow there can be a perfect humanity, a perfect utopia. John Paul II, with his eyes affixed on heaven, totally given over to Mary and an absolute disciple of Jesus, posed a threat to people in the world who sought to subdue and betray authentic humanity. John Paul II was shot as a result of an effort coordinated by the communists coming out of Russia and the Communist Party in Poland. They wanted to do away with this great and brilliant voice of liberty, of freedom, of authentic humanity. They wanted to do away with a voice that was calling the whole world to conversion. In a day, at a time that they could not have understood had as much power as it did, they waited for him in St. Peter's Square. And they tried to end his life there, there in front of the majestic church of St. Peter's in Rome. But the date carries incredible and enormous significance. May 13th, the anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady appearing to the three shepherd children in Fatima in 1917. John Paul II would be spared the lasting consequences of that fatal gunshot. While he would carry the marks on his body, he nevertheless remained faithful, and he would not allow it to keep him from proclaiming the gospel. He even journeyed to the jail cell to forgive in person the man who shot him. His example, his fidelity to Our Lady, would eventually lead him to make a pilgrimage of thanksgiving to Fatima to thank Our Lady in that place where she had appeared in 1917. Renewed were his efforts to bring the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and thus, by dwelling in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the world would become a holy offering to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's important for each one of us to absorb the details of the life of this beautiful, this saintly man, Karol Joseph Wojtyła, who became John Paul II and is now Saint John Paul II. Because as we learn more about him, we understand what's at risk, what's at stake, when the world lives in fear and not in love, when the world lives with its back to the Lord Jesus Christ rather than offering its heart to the heart of Jesus. John Paul II cries out to every age, to every country, to every culture, and to every language that Jesus Christ is the one who has created us, sustains us. He is the source of our true liberty. There is no political movement. There is no agenda. There is no perfect effort, no matter how great it sounds, that can lead us to the liberty and to the authenticity that only God can give, only God can sustain. We are called then to understand that Pope John Paul II, while he reigns on high from in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary, he is still very much a figure of our own time. By his example, he still very much teaches us how to be faithful to Jesus, how to be close to Mary. He also fills us with a certain fire in our souls to proclaim Jesus Christ as risen from the dead. The details of his life captivate our attention when we allow them to. So no matter where we are, whether physically, in our car, at home, at work, running errands, working out, or spiritually, in a state of grace, or in a state of sin, whether we know a lot about the Lord or whether we are ashamed of our ignorance of the Lord, whether we love him with the wholeness of our heart or whether we are afraid of the Lord because of our sins. Regardless of where we are, the beautiful voice, the powerful message of John Paul II still speaks to our minds and our hearts, challenging us and inviting us, consoling us while also correcting us to make sure that we are a holy offering, that we are totally given over to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the Lord Jesus whom we encounter in the Holy Eucharist. John Paul II may be rightly considered a Marian Pope. He may also be considered a Eucharistic Pope. He spent the many years he had as the Vicar of Christ, as the Pope, guiding the Church back to a source of stability, the source of stability that is found in Jesus Christ truly present in the Holy Eucharist, a source of strength and a source of peace that is found when the Church admits, acknowledges, and accepts Mary as our Mother and our Queen. If a little boy who just lost his mother and his baby sister could find determination and conviction by having his eyes directed towards Our Lady and accepting her as Mother, so too can we, regardless of where we may be, find that conviction, that consolation, the ability to continue to pursue Jesus by acknowledging that Mary is our Mother and our Queen. St. John Paul II's feast day is on October 22nd. Regardless of his feast day, every day is an opportunity for us to gaze upon the saints and to see how the Lord works, to see how the Lord loves, and to be reminded of his hope.